of September 25th is now in order. Our first, anybody up there? And our first issue is called to order, so Mr. Escobar? Here?
Oh, I'm here, yes. You thought you wanted me to say something substantive. That's not going to happen tonight.
Mr. Hanselman?
I am here as well.
Mr. Berman?
I'm here.
Mr. East?
I am here.
And Mr. Updike?
Here.
And Ms. Blom, who's not here.
I believe she's online.
Oh, okay.
Hello.
Oh,
I'm online.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
Okay, I'm going to mute myself.
Okay. We can't see your face, though.
That's a good thing.
Okay. Next order of business is the approval of the minutes, which I dutifully read. Then a few spell check errors in to Sherry to be corrected. Otherwise, the context was fine. So I guess I'd recommend that somebody make a motion to approve it.
I move that the minutes of the work session of September 11th and the minutes of the regular session on September 11th be accepted as shared.
I'll second your motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Wow. No, no opposition. Okay. Action items. File 1-PD-23/3-ADJ-23. The final order and findings of fact for the final development plan and adjustment permit for the Oregon State University 77 apartment-style student housing and residential units. Okay, final order is up. Somebody like to, does anybody have any issues? Bob has an issue.
I'd just like, Derek, if you could reiterate exactly how it is that this, which looked like basically a brand new plat to me, did not have to conform to the garbage ordinance.
Because the application was submitted before the garbage ordinance was effective.
The application for the 77 units?
They've coordinated, but they are not. In the state of Oregon, we have a no change in the goalpost rule in statute.
Right.
And that statutory provision says that you're subject to the land use rules in effect on the date you submit your application, as long as you get your application complete within 180 days. So any ordinance we adopt after an application had been submitted and under review, we can't apply it to them.
But this wasn't a new application then?
This was a new application, but it was submitted before the trash enclosure ordinance was effective.
Okay. All right. That was not clear. I thought that the submission that you were talking about was round one, which was that five buildings or whatever.
But Bob, at the end of the day, won't Oregon State have to comply with Mr. Thompson's rules if they want to have their garbage hauled away?
Well, Thompson can't impose the rules.
Mm-hmm. It'll be up to him, you know.
He came
here and advocated for their position.
Right, but he just doesn't conform to it, and I was wondering why.
Right.
But John, I didn't have the timing sequence.
Yeah, John asked that at the meeting. Is why, you know, was this applied? And as I said, we cannot apply it to an application that was already in process before the ordinance was effective.
But so, that application was the one for 77 units, not the one for
correct.
Five buildings
correct.
With 20
correct.
Units.
Yeah, the one for 77 units came in a week and a half or so before the trash enclosure ordinance
okay.
was effective.
Well, that's fine.
Because council ordinances are effective 30 days after adoption, unless it was an emergency adoption.
Right.
And that wasn't the case.
Okay, well, that's fine. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't the one we saw 2 or 3 years ago just being amended and amended and amended so that, you know.
Yeah, no, that was a, this was a new application.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
I move we approve the final order and findings for all those file numbers.
I'll second your motion.
Okay. Motion has been put forth and seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Hearing none. The file, whatever, 1-PD-23. I don't have a pen. is approved. And the...
Oh, yeah, you can sign it while you're reading your public hearing thing.
Okay, next up is public hearing. Do I need to read all this since there's nobody here?
Yes.
I was hoping.
Just ship right through.
You probably skipped the Zoom part, right?
I can see about that.
Here?
Yeah, you probably skipped the Zoom part. Yeah, just make, you want to make sure to cover the ex parte and all that stuff.
I'm going to find where the ex parte is. Okay, quasi-judicial and legislative land use public hearings. We are reviewing file 3-Z-22 amendments to chapter 14-14, parking and loading requirements. The statement applies to quasi-judicial and legislative land use hearings on the agenda. All testimony and evidence presented toward the request being heard must be directed toward the applicable criteria and the Newport Comprehensive Plan, Newport Municipal Code, or other land use regulations or standards which the speaker believes to apply to the decision. The failure of anyone to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the Planning Commission and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue will preclude appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals, known as LUBA, based on that issue. An issue which may be the basis for an appeal to LUBA shall be raised not later than the close of the record at or following this evidentiary hearing. Such issues shall be raised and accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the city decision makers and the parties an adequate opportunity to respond to each issue. The failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the city to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages in circuit court. Prior to the conclusion of a hearing, any participant may request an opportunity to present additional evidence, arguments, or testimony regarding the application. If such a request is made, then the hearing will be continued to a date certain and schedule set for submittal of additional testimony, a period for parties to respond to the new testimony, and a period whereby the applicant can provide final argument. At this time, I would ask the planning commissioners to disclose any actual or potential conflicts of interest, bias, ex parte contacts, or site visits.
I have none.
I have none.
I drove through the Bayfront.
I previewed all this last Wednesday night and have driven through the Bayfront. Can't park because it's too crowded. if anyone present has an objection to the participation of any planning commission member or the commission as a whole, please raise that objection. Are you okay, Marjorie? Fell asleep.
Yes, I'm okay.
Okay.
Just a check.
No conflict.
Okay. The Planning Commission may, at the request of a participant or on its own accord, continue the hearing to a date certain to provide an opportunity for persons to present and rebut new evidence, arguments, or testimony related to the applicable criteria The hearing will proceed in the following order. Staff report, applicant's testimony, persons in favor, persons opposed. The applicant's rebuttal. The record will then close for public testimony. The Planning Commission will deliberate, have questions, and make a verbal decision. Final order and findings will be prepared for consideration at the next meeting. Okay, so at this point in time, we turn it over for the staff memorandum.
Thank you. Derek Tokos, Community Development Department. I'll try to be brief. Before you is a set of amendments to Chapter 1414 of the city's municipal code, also our zoning ordinance. It's reducing the minimum off-street parking requirements for new development or redevelopment in areas where public parking is managed with meters or a meter permit program. It implements the listed policies in the report. Two of them, measures 1.3.1 and 3.2.3, which were part of Ordinance 2163 that the council adopted in 2020. The first calls for the city to pursue a metered zone hybrid kind of paid permit program down on the Bayfront, so meters and permits on the Bayfront, which we're in the process of implementing. And the second is to reduce or eliminate minimum off-street parking requirements for new development or redevelopment in these metered or meter permit zones. This package of changes has been reviewed by the Parking Advisor Committee at two meetings on the, looks like it was at May 17th and August 16th, and copies of the minutes were included in your packet. The commission also had an opportunity to review the changes on May 22nd and August 14th. Specifically, as noted in the staff report, they're fairly targeted set of changes. One is to 1414030. It speaks to, or at least it provides parameters for what old use means when you're comparing what a pre-existing parking impact was on a property against a new parking impact on the property. And it contextualizes that as a 10-year look back, no more than 10 years, which is consistent with how we have our system development charge credits structured elsewhere. So keeps the city on this kind of, if you're going to claim an impact from a prior use, you have a 10-year window within which to make that claim. Then moving into the balance of the changes are in 1414100. The first is that we have the parking. If your parking demand is less than 20 additional spaces, you can pay a one-time fee to be set by council resolution in lieu of providing off-street parking, which on the Bayfront you effectively can't provide because there's no place to put it. If you're generating demand for more than 20 parking spaces, then you're going to have to provide the off-street parking for the demand above and beyond 20 spaces. A resolution, if the council adopts this ordinance, we would then bring a resolution to the council with the fee structure. But our expectation is to bring a fee structure to them consistent with the examples that the commission discussed. The next one is 1414100C, which says that if you have an existing off-street parking lot or parking that you provide off-street, you're relieved of the requirement to do so unless you're a larger traffic generator and you're generating a demand for more than 20 parking spaces, in which case you still have to provide off-street parking. And then lastly, 1414100D deals with the existing business license surcharge that businesses pay under Resolution 3864. The way it's structured in areas where metering is to be imposed, the Bayfront, for example, they will no longer be subject to that business license fee. Nye Beach and City Center will continue to be subject to it, and that's in 1414100D. So that's the scope of the changes. You have any questions of staff? Yes, Bob.
A couple of things. The language does not seem to be consistent when it's talking about these kinds of setups. And I don't think it's a big deal, but one place mentions, the comprehensive plan things use different names, but I see references to metered zones, hybrid paid slash permit, hybrid permit slash timed, and then separate references to metered, just simply metered, or metered permit. Mm-hmm. The terminology should be consistent throughout, and in my opinion, all whatever terminology you end up with should be under definitions.
Okay.
So that's one thing. The next one is just harking back to a mistake we made a long time ago. There's a section in here with no changes about drive in, drive up, drive through. And I'd just like to put on the record that if we do another vacation, any vacation, not just the one that where we got burned on here, it should be revocable if the development does not proceed. I think, you know, we went through all that effort and got a lot of people involved, went ahead and gave this guy the land, and he did nothing.
He hasn't done anything yet.
Well, that's true, but that's probably
let's, you know, I can go and go through the city's records and present to you probably 100 cases where the city's vacated right away for various purposes and people have benefited from that, you know, through decisions where the city's decided that those rights of way are no longer needed for public use. That same decision occurred in this case.
We kept half of it. Why? We kept half of that piece of street and we gave him the other half. So we still have a public right of way there that we still don't.
Oh, and we retained a utility easement over the portion that we vacated too. I mean, so there's still layers that were left in place. As I recall, we kept the other because one, it was a little convoluted and difficult to figure out where that would have accrued to. And two, it may have accrued to a strip of that little tiny piece of property that's state-owned as part of the highway right-of-way. So I'd have to go back and look at it, but it's not material to this particular...
No, it's not. That jumped out at me, and I just wanted to state that I think if we do any vacations in the future, we would want to possibly look at some mechanism for title to be transferred back to the city if the proposed use is not followed through.
That would require a separate ordinance and legal research as to whether or not we have the legal authority to do that. Because what we do is we follow the statutory process for street vacations. It's a little different than other things. That's why you don't see street vacation language in the municipal code. We follow the statutes verbatim. And there's nothing in the statutes that say it's conditional and you can require somebody to convey it back.
I'd be curious whether we would be allowed to do that.
That's what I said, legal research.
Yeah. Would you... Well, next time a vacation comes up, I'm going to pursue this a little bit just to see.
Okay.
Get clarification. Okay. And then you make a statement in your commentary. If Nye Beach implements a paid parking permit program, at some point in the future, then it would no longer be necessary, no longer be subject to a parking business district license fee. Mm-hmm. But I thought that fee only went away if you had meters.
Well, it's meters or paid permit parking would fall into that same. Yeah.
If you could just take another look at that and make sure that it's the same criteria in both places.
Yeah, it says we're metered and metered permit zone. So if there's a permit zone, then that would...
Yeah, well, permit zone isn't defined.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have any permit-only zones?
Not yet, but we're likely to have permit-only zones in Nye Beach.
Yeah.
That was going to be part of the discussion.
To clarify, because it sounds to me that they're slightly out of sync with that fee. And that was it.
Okay, any other comments?
But I think the definitions are important.
Okay.
So I have a noticing question. It's maybe more general in nature, but it comes to mind here, given the large concerned citizenry we have. I've never been at a hearing involving parking where no one's in attendance, no matter what the topic is, ever in my life. So this is a first for me. I'm wondering, do we do like postcard notices, or is it just the newspaper and other required notices before hearings?
Yeah, we just do the required notice. Unless, you know, if we're doing a large planning effort like a TSP, for example, that's one where we formed an advisory committee and we solicited feedback through that, and we got people's names and contact information through the process. We'll send that out to those who expressed an interest in, you know, hearing about future actions. But on a typical legislative change where we're not doing a large outreach effort, it's just legal notice.
You did reach out to all the business owners in the Bayfront, I assume, and Nye Beach. And
for this, we didn't send postcard notice out
I just meant in general. You reached out to the community.
We worked this through the Parking Advisory Committee, which has representatives from both the Bayfront and Nye Beach on it, specifically to make sure it was vetted with those interest groups.
Then you did some outreach.
But that's not the principal focus of the outreach right now. The principal focus has been on the metering rollout. But parking relief does come up with questions from folks, so.
Sure.
Because that was always, the two were tied together.
But you're right. Everybody would have an opinion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have anything else. I was just answering questions.
I think we're ready to move it forward.
I didn't know whether you were going to go through each of the attachments or not.
I just covered what was in the amendment. I don't know that I need to go through
minutes and things, aren't they?
Each of the remaining attachments. They're just minutes from the advisory committee and commission work sessions, council work session, and then legal notice.
Okay, so just to make sure I'm right, once meters go in, the rules change in these three areas. So without meters,
this relief will only apply in the Bayfront.
Now, yeah.
Could apply in the Bayfront only for a long time because it's keyed off of meters. It says reduce or eliminate minimum off-street parking requirements for new development or redevelopment in metered and meter permit zones. So if it's not a meter or a metered permit zone, it doesn't apply.
But then you just said in Nye Beach, if they come up with a permit program, it's going to apply.
For Nye Beach, if they come up with a permit program, they'll get relief from the business license surcharge that they're paying right now.
Still have to provide the off-street parking according to the old rules.
Right. Because it's not a metered or metered permit zone. It would be a permit-only zone, which would get them off the hook of having to pay their business license surcharge, which has been in effect for some 10-plus years. It would basically be replaced with a permit program.
Okay. But that permit program hasn't even been conceptualized yet, right?
Correct, because the Parking Advisory Committee we need to get the Bayfront thing done, and then we can move and have the conversation with Nye Beach. We just don't have the capacity to be trying to juggle both at the same time.
And if that were conceptualized, the Parking Advisory Committee would have to weigh in on it? And is there legislative action or no?
Weigh in on what?
For Nye Beach.
For a parking permit program?
Right.
Yeah, they'd be part and parcel of developing it.
But it's not a legislative change, so we'd never see it, or would we?
Just trying to understand who sees it and who has to approve it.
It's a good question. The parking permit program probably doesn't have to go to the Planning Commission per se, although it's been my practice to try to run these things through you, even if they don't necessarily, it's not something you necessarily have to act on. I just call out, it's not something you need to act on. Kind of like sharing the framework for the meter program, even though you're not seeing those Chapter 6 amendments formally, they're going straight to council, but you did get a chance to look at them in work session. A parking permit would be, frankly, at the end of the day, yeah, it might just be a resolution, unless we need to make some other code changes further defining some aspect of the permit program. That could just be a council resolution that sets out the parameters.
But at a minimum, it's council action.
Huh?
At a minimum, it's council action of some sort.
Oh, it would be council action. Okay. I'm just trying to, It could be council action with an ordinance adjustment, or it could be council action strictly of just a fee resolution.
Right.
That sets up the permit program.
Okay. Yeah, it's going to get pricing a little squirrely.
I'm sorry?
When will your pricing be finalized?
We got to finish up outreach down on the Bayfront, and actually the Parking Advisory Committee just made a change at their last meeting to a couple of the pricing kind of elements. And so we still have outreach meetings I'll be attending with the fish plants, so I suspect right towards the end of October, so probably another month or so out, before the actual fee resolution would be something we'd put together. Because at the last Parking Advisory Committee meeting, one of the things they agreed to do was adjust down the cost for the, we call the Tier 2 permit, which is where we want people to park, on slope, so it's the lower priced permit. So they agreed to do that, we got some feedback to that effect saying, hey, look, if we park where you want us to park, which is a little bit further away, not in the prime zones, can you do a little bit better in terms of the pricing? The advisory committee was comfortable doing that. It also accounts for off-season, which was another thing that's come up, on a straight monthly permit. Is there something you can do on the off-season side? And they agreed to address that too, so.
Now, are permits going to be available seasonally? I mean, it may be month to month, but can I buy a permit for summer and then be guaranteed to be able to buy one next spring?
Well, the guarantees is subject to permit availability, because we are capping the amount of permits we're going to be making available. But the way the Tier 2 would be set up now moving forward is you would have a monthly permit option at $25 a month. If you paid that for 12 months, that would be higher than your other option, which would be a peak period, six-month permit at $75 with an off-peak at $25. So $100 a year. So we're going to go through and clean it up, but that's where the advisory committee felt that would be a reasonable direction to go.
That seems less expensive than parking in downtown Portland.
Well, you got to keep in mind what we're offering that Tier 2 permit for is on Hatfield and Canyon Way, the Canyon Way lot. I mean, it's not flat ground. Let's put it that way. So, but the Tier 1, which is, your most attractive lots, your Abbey, your Bay, the stuff, and then along Bay Boulevard, say by Port Dock 5, that's still $45 a month.
Is it
straight up monthly permit?
Is it true that if you have a permit, you can park in a metered spot without paying the meter?
If you're in a meter permit zone. So we have meter only.
Yes.
Which is the West Side Bay Boulevard street. There you can't park with a permit. You can only park and pay the meter. If you're in the Abbey Street lot, or the Bay Boulevard lot, for example, those are meter permit, which means you either have to have a permit or you pay the meter. And those are the tier one permits, the 45 a month, because they're the spots that are right down there in the core part of the bayfront.
Still seems to be relatively modest cost.
Yep, and I've been hearing some folks say that, and some folks say it's excessive and egregious, and there's no parking problem at all on the bayfront. So we're dealing with the whole thing right now. I'm serious. I mean, I'm doing these outreach sessions. Just did the one on the with the bayfront retailers, and you know, there are some people that this is what we need to do, and other people are like, there's no problem. You know,
there's some people say the earth is flat.
You know, oh, and they you know so, you know. I'm not going there.
Isn't the earth flat?
Did you go to Michigan State?
I did.
You guys still have a legislative item here, though. We kind of went off tangent there a little bit on parking. But.
Okay, well, if I can find the name of this thing, I'll move that we approve it.
Well,
what?
We recommend that it be forwarded to the city council.
Yeah, it's so true. But
what we're doing is
don't you have to call for testimony and stuff?
Any testimony?
Marjorie, you want to say anything? She did fall asleep.
No, I'm here. I see no problem after the conversation with this item.
Okay, there's nobody opposed, so I assume the people out there who are in favor now have the applicant's rebuttal. I don't hear anybody saying that. Mm-hmm. So at this point, the record is closed for testimony, but what we are doing is we're going to make file number, whatever it is. I'll get to
3Z22.
Yeah, file number 3Z22. We have a recommendation that we agree and make a recommendation to the city council that they are necessary and further the general welfare of the community.
I'll second that.
So all those who would like to forward this to the city council signify by saying aye.
Wait, we have
aye.
To discuss.
All right.
Aye.
Discuss what?
After you make a motion, you're supposed to say any further discussion. But that's okay.
Hey, just to John's point earlier about a room not being full of people, I do want to point out that when we did the parking study that ultimately resulted in the policies and implementation measures here, this room was full. We had plenty of people for the determination of whether or not metered parking should be something that's done on the bayfront and whether or not we should be reducing or eliminating minimum off-street parking requirements in conjunction with that. I think a number of you can probably recall that. And that's because, you know, we had an advisory committee and extensive outreach at that point in time. So just thought that important to pass along.
Fair enough. And then COVID hit.
Then COVID hit, yeah.
Yeah.
And everything got shelved.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
Must have been.
Okay, at which point in time do we have any new business?
No new business or unfinished business or director's comments at this time. I would remind you, we do have a training coming up at your next work session. So that'll be with Brett Estes. He's a former community development director for the city of Astoria and city manager for the city of Astoria. And he works for the Department of Land Conservation Development now as our North Coast regional representative. And so he's putting together some materials for that for you. So it should be a good work session coming up on the 9th.
That'll be in 2 weeks?
Correct.
Very
Are you going to be there?
Yes.
Then I will bring the applesauce bread.
Okay, Lord save the line. It's now 7:36, and we are adjourned.
That was a milk puckers trial?
I'm sorry?